Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Sha'arei. Wow, welcome. Brucha haba'a. Welcome back to our learning at Sha'arei. We are learning Lilui Nishmas and the Zeich Nishmas, Miriam Frun, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah HaShalom, and Hashem Mishal Havan Aliyah in the merit of our Torah. Amen. I saw, but that's not, it's not new. She's a few months old, the baby.
Oh, his name Miriam, she said.
Yeah. Can I inherit Baruch Hashem? Okay, so we're in the middle of discussing tefillah. In our sefer, we have come to a point where over the past few classes, we have moved from the discussion of faith onto the discussion, really, of tefillah. And I hope the insights we have shared have been beneficial to all of us in terms of enhancing our tefillah. So I'm really not sure where to start. But my job is to start. So therefore, I'm going to start in the parasha. And I'm not sure that we're going to get into the actual sefer today, because in this week's parasha, which is, of course, you could say the famous parasha Shlach, or you could say the infamous sin of parasha Shlach. There are two major sins that occur. There are more, unfortunately, than two, but there are two major sins that occur at the hands of Knesset Yisrael. Really, if you ask people, you know, the most major sins in the Torah, we would say Chet HaEgel, and we would say Chet HaMeragam. Chet HaEgel is in Shemos 32, and Chet HaMeragam is, guess what, in our parasha. Interestingly, there are many connections between Chet HaMeragam and Chet HaEgel, or I should say vice versa. Chet HaEgel, the sin of the golden calf, and Chet HaMeragam, the sin of the spies. So a lot of discussion as to actually what the sin of the spies even was, but I don't want to talk about what the actual sin was, or the root of the sin, or the cause of the sin. I want to actually focus on the prayer that Moshe gives in this week's parasha, when he has to plead with Hashem to save the So here we are learning so much about tefillah, and in this week's parasha we have one of the most famous structures of prayer. Hashem gave the secret to Moshe, and what we have in this week's parasha is what are known as the Midos HaRachamim. Interestingly, here's another connection between Chet HaEgel and Chet HaMeragam. After Chet HaEgel, Moshe also invoked the Midos HaRachamim to plead on behalf of the people. Of course, when we come up to the day of Yom HaKippurim, the Day of Atonement, which is when God said, post-Egel, Salachti Kivarech, I forgive you like yours, we invoke the Midos HaRachamim over and over and over, beseeching the Ribbono Shel Olam through our tefillah, through this Midah of Rachamim. So I'm going to begin in our parasha. So we all know what happened. Moshe sends scouts. He sends 12 Kulam Anashim. They're good people. They go see the land. He gives them instructions. They come back. It's noteworthy to point out they really just followed the instructions. They go from north to south. They go south to north. They go all over the country. He said, bring back food. They bring back food. Are the cities fortified? They're fortified. Are the people strong or weak? They're strong. They actually follow the instructions. It's fascinating to know that they did what they were told to do. And it seems to be that the sin is even worse than the sin of Chet HaEgel. After Egel, Hashem says, okay, fine, only 3,000 were killed. And after Chet HaMeragam, the whole generation is banished and condemned forever to death in the desert. The Yotzei Mitzrayim, those who left Egypt, will not be the Ba'i Arts, those who come to the land. In both instances, after these terrible sins, again, many parallels between the two, in both cases, Hashem wants to destroy the nation. And in both cases, what does Moshe do? Praise. What's Moshe always doing when the people are in trouble? Praying. In fact, the Salvechik has a beautiful piece, and he says, one of many, 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 and he says, how can Moshe, in the beginning of Devarim, blame the people three times in Parshas Devarim? Moshe says, I'm not going in because of you. Hashem's angry at me. I'm not going because of you. What do you mean? Why isn't Moshe going in? So we're going to be in Parshas Chukas. Isn't Moshe not going in because in Parshas Chukas he struck the rock two times? How could he blame the people that he's not going in? So as Rav Salvechik say, had they been a prayerful people, like he was a prayerful leader, they would have ripped the decree to shreds. Every time they're in trouble, what does Moshe do? I mean, this is a pretty big disaster. What's Moshe doing? Midos HaRachamim. Chet HaEgel is a pretty big disaster. What's Moshe doing? Davening. Last week, the Misonanim, they're complaining. Tivar Bam Eish Hashem, Tavera, there's a fire. They scream to Moshe. What does Moshe do? He davens. Every time. One time Moshe's in trouble. One time. Do the people utter one word? Had they been, this is a quote, a prayerful people like he was a had they been a prayerful people like he was a prayerful leader, they would have ripped the decree to shreds. Therefore, Gambi Sanaf Hashem Biglachem, of course it's your fault. Even the God of Hador needs to feel. So why do they pass around the name of a God when he needs a refuel? I and nobody should daven for the God of Hador? Apparently, yes. So do we learn it from? Even Moshe Rabbeinu needed the people to daven. So in this week's parasha, he davened. So Hashem says to Moshe, until when will these people anger me? I'm in the parak Yodalit over here. I know you don't have a chumash. I'm just recapping the psukim to give you the foreground into which we have the midos harachamim that appear. By the way, this is important for our shir. How many midos harachamim, how many attributes of mercy does Moshe invoke after Chet HaEgel? All 13. And in our parasha, 9. Not all 13. Until when will these people anger me? Until when won't they believe in me and all the wonders that I did? I want to smote them down. So that's exactly what does he say after Chet HaEgel? The same thing. I'm going to destroy everybody after the golden calf. I'm going to start a new people from who? From who? You, Moshe. What does he say here? I'm going to smote them down and annihilate them. I'm going to make you into a great nation, very strong than they ever were. So once again, what does he want to do? Get rid of these sinful people and save Moshe's soul. Moshe says, well, after Chet HaEgel, he says the famous last words, "Mecheinina misifrecha asher katavta." If you destroy them, destroy me. So here, what does Moshe say? It's not such a good idea. The Mitzrim will say that you took them out, but you weren't strong enough to bring them to the land. Are you going to just destroy all of them? What will the nation say? Oh, they'll say God couldn't bring them to the land, and therefore he cut them down in the desert. Once again, Moshe's coming to the defense of the people. Va'ata, and now, Yigdal na koach Hashem kasher dibarta lemar. Let the strength of Hashem be magnified. Yigdal na koach Hashem. Let the strength of God be magnified, like you spoke. Rashi says, what did he say? Hashem has one of the attributes that we invoke in the 13 midos of rachamim are Hashem erech apayim. What does erech apayim mean? Hashem is slow to anger. One strike, two strike, three strike, four strike, and on, and another chance, and another chance. Kisha letzadikim vilirashaim. You should know when you daven to Hashem, who is erech apayim, who is slow to anger, it's for the righteous and for the wicked. And Rashi tells you, kisha ala Moshe limarom. When Moshe went up, he found Hashem writing. What was he writing? So to speak, God was writing in the Torah, Hashem is erech apayim. God is slow to anger. So Moshe said, that's for the tzaddikim, right? So Hashem said, oh no, it's also for Rishaim. So Moshe said, Risham yovedu. Rishaim will be zocha to, the wicked will be zocha to erech apayim. God is slow to anger. Let the wicked perish. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, chayach, I swear by your life, shatit starech ladavar. You are going to need to invoke this midah of erech apayim. When Israel sinned by the eagle, by the golden calf, ube miraglim, and by the miraglim, many, many parallels and comparisons between not only the sins, but the aftermath of the sin and the reaction to the sin. When Israel sinned by the golden calf and by the sin of the spies, hit palel Moshe lefanav be'erech apayim. All of a sudden, what's Moshe davening? Ah, remember you are slow to anger. Amar lo kosh baruchu. God says, hello, Amar tali latzadikim. Didn't you tell me I should reserve this midas rachamim, this attribute of mercy only for the righteous? Amar lo Moshe. But hello, Amar tali af l'rishayim. Who else could say this besides from Moshe? Moshe said to God, yeah, maybe I said that, but what did you answer me back? You said, no, it's not only for the righteous, it's also for the wicked. Yigdal na koach Hashem, therefore let the glory of God be magnified just like you spoke. When did you speak? When I saw you writing, erech apayim. I said, oh God, I think that's only for the righteous. And God said, oh no, it's also for the sinners. When did Moshe need to invoke it? Two times, by Chet HaEgel and by by the sin of the golden calf and by the sin of the spice. And then listen. And now immediately Moshe begins to pray with the midos harachamim, the attributes of mercy. Hashem erech apayim v'rav chesed. What do you know right away is missing? I didn't hear.
The second
Hashem. Oh, listen again. Hashem erech apayim v'rav chesed. Emes is also missing because according to Emes, why is Emes missing by the Chet HaMeraglim?
Because they told the truth.
What? I just didn't hear. Did you say something?
That's right. You
said. I didn't hear. Okay. Because by MS, you want to say something? Okay. Because by MS, The MS is that once now they should totally be destroyed. I mean, how many chances could God give them already? One sin and another sin and another sin and another sin. So we don't want any MS anymore at this point in the Gzeira because they have angered God so many times already. So the MS is, Taka, we're finished. So Moshe does not invoke MS. You're Rav Chesed, that's the attribute of Rachamim, mercy. But MS, which is Din, we don't really want a portion of over here because according to the MS, we're finished. But what I want to say, okay, no say, Avon, he carries sin, Vafasha, another kind of sin, and he absolves, but he does not absolve those who continue the sins of their fathers. Then Moshe says another pasuk that we say on the Amim Nerayim, the high holidays, Slach na la'avon ha'am hazeh. You should recognize these words. Kigoda chastecha v'kasher nasasa la'am hazeh mimitzrayim v'arheima v'sham ne'emar. Forgive these people for the sin of the people because you have such great kindness, just like you have carried them from Egypt until here. And God says, Salachti kidvaracha. Just like he says, I forgive you like your words. When did he originally say that? Help me, I don't hear. Are you saying and I don't hear? You're not saying. We say it on Yom Kippur. Why do we say it on Yom Kippur? Because Hashem said it on the first Yom Kippur. What was the first Yom Kippur? The 120th day after Chayit HaEgel when Moshe davened 40 days, 40 days, 40 days. Correct. We're going there in a minute. And on the original Yom Kippur, which is in the desert, God said, I forgive you like your words. Moshe came down. They started to build the Mishkan. So this day, the day itself, Itzu Moshe Yom Mechaper, the day of Yom Kippur, has a transformational power to be Mechaper because of Salachti Kivaracha. Okay, so this is what we see in Parsha Shlach. Now, for comparison, in Parshas Ki Tisa, which was by the sin of the golden calf, Moshe also davens, because Moshe is always davening. Last week, it starts right in Perek Yud Aleph. The people are in trouble right away. They're seeking pretext, everything's so bad. The people scream to Moshe, and what does Moshe do? Vayispal Moshe Hashem, right away. Vayom Hashem el Moshe. So this is now we're going to back to Shemos, okay? What's in Shemos? Chayit HaEgel, the other infamous sin, the other transgression. Once again, many parallels. Terrible transgression. God is very angry. This is in both cases. God is like fundamental, foundational, bless you, fundamental, foundational treason against the Ribbono Shel Olam. In both cases, lack of emunah both times. Both times God wants to destroy them. Both times Moses praise. Both times he invokes in his prayer the midos harachamim, attributes of mercy. Both times Hashem says, Salachti kivaracha. Ayom Hashem al Moshe. So God says to Moshe, this is in Perek Lamed Aleph, chapter 34 of Shemos, carve for yourself two luchos like the first ones, write upon the luchos what were on the first ones that you broke, get ready for the morning, come up to the mountain, nobody should go up with you. Okay? Beautiful Rashi here, by the way. Just as an aside, Rashi, the second luchos were just given from who to who? Hashem to Moshe. It was a very private affair. The first luchos were with a lot of fanfare and a lot of noise, and the whole world knew about the first luchos. There's a beautiful Rashi here, just for your own reference. V'ish lo yala imach. No one should come up with you. It's just Hashem and Moshe. Harishonos ayidei shahayu bisishuos v'kolos ukihila. The first one were with throngs and fanfare and a sound and light show. Shalta behen ayin ra. The ayin ra, the evil eye, shalta behen. Affected by the evil eye. Ein lecha yafa minatznias. It's a beautiful Rashi. There's nothing more. How does Artsko translate it? Nothing better than modesty, but it sort of loses its impact in translation. Why did the second luchos last and the first one were destroyed? There was too much noise with the first one. There was too much coming out, so to speak. There was too much awareness. There was too much in everybody's face. It wasn't sanua. It wasn't modest. Just as an aside, no one should come up with you, no animals. He carves the luchos, the second tablets. He goes up to Har Sinai. He takes them with him. God comes down, so to speak. Targum Onkelos never assigns anthropomorphic qualities to the Almighty. God reveals himself. Vayikra b'shem Hashem. Vayikra b'shem Hashem. Vayisasev yimosham. We say this on Yom Kippur. Vayikra b'shem Hashem. God and Moses are standing there together. Ein lecha davar yafa minatznias. Vayikra b'shem Hashem. And what is vayavar Hashem alpanav? Vayikra. What does he say now? Hashem. Hashem. Kal rachum v'chanan. Erech apayim v'rav chesed v'emes. Now we have what? A double lashon of shame Hashem. You with me? After Chet, we've drawn the parallels between the two sins. On some level, both represent a fundamental flaw in Amunah. And there's also differences, but for purposes of our learning today, we're looking at the comparisons. Very bad sin, goes contrary to everything God said. On the one hand, he says, Anochi Hashem lo yelecha eloim echeir ma'panai. On one hand, he says, I'm bringing you hevesi eschem el ha'aretz, it's a land of zavis chal v'dvash. And the people say, no thank you, we're not interested. God becomes very angry, he wants to destroy everybody. Moshe davens, yud gimel mi d'sarachamim, and test mi d'sarachamim. We're still going to talk about the difference between the number of attributes of mercy. And in both cases, what happens? Salachti kidvarecha. And apparently, salachti kidvarecha, because here we... There were punishments on that level. 3,000 died after Egel. The whole Dor HaMidbar is not going into the wilderness. The Gemara also says that there's no punishment that comes to us without some effect from Egel HaZahav. But the people are here, not like God wanted. God said, I'm going to destroy everybody. It didn't happen. What saved us? Tefillah. Which tefillah specifically?
Moshe.
Attributes of mercy. But there's a different. Hashem, Hashem, Hashem. Why double lashon of Hashem? You would think that there should only be one in both instances. Why do you need a double lashon of Hashem in either case? Are you with me? I know it's late, but yes, you know what we're talking about?
So this is a little off.
A little lost?
A little off the topic.
Off.
When we say Shema,
off topic.
When we say Shema, we have Hashem, Hashem, and the middle is Elokeinu.
Shema Yisrael, Hashem, Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, okay.
And we know that Yud Kei Vav Kei is Rachamim and Elokeinu is Yusadin. So it's like the Midas HaRachamim are like really...
Very nice. Shema Yisrael Hashem, hear, O Israel Hashem, mercy is our God,
justice
is our God, Rachamim. So that the Rachamim ensconces, or cocoon, so to speak, the din, sort of to soften the blow. Shema Yisrael Hashem, Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Very nice. Very nice. Okay. Except that here, you don't have anything between Hashem, Hashem. And these are only midos of rachamim, not din. So let me tell you what Rashi says. Hashem, Hashem. Midas harachamim hi. Okay, it's the attribute of mercy. Quote. You have to remember these words for the rest of our shiur. Achas, why do you need two? Achas kodem sheyachta. One, you need mercy before you sin, the achas la'achar sheyechta v'yashuv, and one time you need mercy after you sin and you're coming to repent. Now, what don't you understand about this?
If you were asking, why would you come to sin?
What?
Why would you come to sin?
Why would you come to sin? She says, if you're asking for mercy in the beginning.
Man sins because man is bechira. We spoke a lot about that in this class. Man sins because he has free choice. Moshe had free choice. Shlach lecha anashim v'yasur es eretz kanan asher aninosin divnei Yisrael. Shlach lecha l'da'atcha. You want to send, so you can send. I, God, am telling you, I don't think it's the best idea, but you b'chira chafshis. A different question. Rashi just told you, let me repeat the kash, well, what should lead to the kasha. Rashi just told you there's two Hashems. Why? One is midas, they're all both midas harachimim, attribute of God's mercy. This is what we invoke on Yom Kippur. Post Egel, post golden calf, post shlach, sin of the spies. Achas kodem sheyechta. One is needed. You need the attribute of mercy before sin. Achas la'achas sheyechta v'yashuv. You need the attribute of mercy after you sin and you're coming to repent. Yes. Sorry.
I guess my question is, don't we need the rachamim before we repent, but after we sin the most? Isn't the time that we need the rachamim the most after we sin but before we repent?
Okay. So key words to what you said are, we need the rachamim after we sin. One second, but I'm stopping your sentence. We need the rachamim after we sin. What on earth is Rashi teaching you? Kodem sheyechta. You didn't sin yet. Why do you need rachamim kodem sheyechta? Yes, you always need God's rachamim, but what exactly is the message here? What do you mean I need mercy before I sin? I need mercy. These Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim or Tes Midos HaRachamim, both in Kitisa and in Shlach, are when the worst sin possible has occurred. So Moses prays. This is what we do on Yom Kippur. We spent a year, Rachman al-Litzlan, messing up. Someone said to me today, this isn't what I'm teaching in Parsha class this week. This is special for this class because the Sefer is going through the Parshas of these chapters of Tefillah. In regular Parsha class, we're learning in depth about what we call the third paragraph of Shema, which is Vayomer, which is the mitzvah of tzitzis. So someone said in class today, so why do some people don't wear tzitzis? So I said, why? So why do we talk Lashon Hara? What kind of question is that? Why do some people don't? Why do I talk Lashon Hara? Why do I say benching rash? Why am I not sure if I made a bracha or didn't make a bracha? Why am I impatient with my children? Why am I not down the kafschus? What do you mean, why? I have bechira. What kind of question is why, I said to her? What do you mean, why? Because man is fallible, man is weak, man is bechira. But before I sin, I didn't do anything, so why do I need rachamim? But Moshe is davening, and he's invoking, and he's pleading our cause. And in both cases, geshmak, says God, good idea, I forgive you. I forgive you? What's going on? Okay. Everyone understands? You have any questions or comments? Yes? Why do you need mercy before you sin? That's exactly what we're trying to understand.
Maybe you need mercy so you shouldn't sin. That's being tempted. You need mercy so you should not sin and you shouldn't be tempted to sin.
So that's a problem because that touches upon Bechira. What do you mean I shouldn't be tempted? I have a Yetzer Hara. My Yetzer Hara, I tell him all the time, my Yetzer Hara does a very good job for Hashem. I'm talking about me, Michal Haaretz. My Yetzer Hara is a very good soldier in Hashem's army. He does an excellent job doing what Hashem wants him to do. Does God prevent me from... I could daven for assistance, but I have to... B'derek shadam rotze lelech ba'amol lichin also. But I have to show Hashem the first steps. I have to show what I want. B'derek shadam rotze lelech ba'amol lichin also. We're coming up to Bilam. The way in which you want to go. Pischu li pischu... You have to start the job. What is God's rachamim going to do for me? Okay, so, yes.
It almost feels like the second rachamim depends on the first one, in the sense that if you sin, then it's almost like it's too late. There's nothing to do. God's just going to punish you.
Wait, if you sin in the sense then?
So if you sin, then God is, it's too late. God can just destroy you right there. So if you don't have the first rachamim, then it sort of softens it a little bit. You can't get to the second rachamim. It's too late to even get there. You already sinned.
I don't understand because then you need the second rachamim. How does the first one help you post sin?
Because the second rachamim can only happen if God's willing to give you the second rachamim. But if we're going to just say that if you sin, and then God is immediately just destroying everyone. You need the first one to sort of like allow the second one to happen.
Okay, but I want to also point out, you're right. Well, Hashem doesn't punish us right away because he's Erech HaPayim. We spoke about Erech HaPayim. That's a different midah. He's slow to anger. If he was, that's why Rashi records a conversation in our parsha. Moshe said, this is for tzaddikim. So God said, you're going to see. You don't just need it for the righteous. You need it for the wicked also. Okay. Let me tell you what David Holzer teaches. And it's such a beautiful pshat. And it is such a strong Masraska. I just want to point out as a point of interest, let's not forget that by Chet HaMeraglim in our parsha, there is no Hashem Hashem. There's only what? Hashem once. So then, which Hashem was it? Was it? We don't know yet. We're going to get there. Was it Kodem Sheyachta? Well, could you say it's Kodem Sheyachta by Chedim Meraglim? No, it wasn't Kodem Sheyachta. It wasn't before they sinned. It's in Perek Yedal. They already sinned. They already sat on the floor. We already had 14:1. Everybody's crying. And that's when the Gemara says, Oso Hayam, Erev Tisha Bahav Haya. When the Meraglim came back, it was Erev Tisha. We're moving it next week to Shabbos Mevarchim. Also, Yom Erev Tisha B'Av Hayad, everyone sat down and they started crying, and God famously says, Atem Bechisim, you all know this, Bechia Shalchinim, Ani Kovelechem, Bechia Ledoros. What are you crying about? You don't like my land? It's not good enough for you? Nitna Rosh V'Neshuvah Mitzrayim, are you people crazy? We should go back to Egypt. It was better. And Vayitnu Eskola, Vatisa, Kola Eda, that's not in the right order. They all lift their voice and they all cry, finished. There's only one Hashem post-Miraglim. Why? It's not Kodem Sheyachta. We're not Kodem Sheyachta. What is it? Achra Sheyachta V'yashuv. Moses is trying. We're finished sinning and we're on the way to repentance. So now how do we understand the appearance of a double Hashem? And by the way, note, and this is key, that when we invoke the Midos HaRachamim for ourselves in prayer, following Moses' example, do we have two Hashems or one? Two. So that means, what are we davening for? We're davening for mercy, kodem sheyachta. And we're davening for mercy, achar sheyachta v'yashuv. So when we come to Hashem and Yom Kippur, and over, I'll tell you a secret, especially with hearing loss, it's very hard to follow by Ne'ila which Hashem they're exactly up to. They skip some of the parts. I'm in the woman section. I can't exactly hear. I don't know. So you say, Hashem, are they falling down? Or is it Kor Mishtachin? That you do fall down, that you don't fall down. Is it almost time to get to Ne'ila, to the end of Ne'ila? That's just as an aside. So you invoke and you invoke and you invoke. We invoke a double Hashem. So that means I'm full of sin. I had a whole year of sin. Rav Salvechik says about sin, how does the Rav define sin? Sin doesn't mean, chet doesn't mean I sin. It means I failed. Chet, says the Rav, is not sin, it's failure. You got a test. God gave you a test. What happened? I failed. Achas kodem sheyachta, one before the failure, using the translation of the Rav. Va'achas achas sheyachta v'yashuv. What's going on? And keep in mind, we use both Hashem. So that means we clearly need both of these midos harachamim. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Okay. I'll tell you one more nakuda before we get to the answer. I wish I had a blackboard. Do you have a pen to write down what I'm saying? It's helpful if you could visualize this. Ready? Okay. Rav Goldwicht teaches, quoting the Arizal, and I thank Rabbi Dr. Andrew Siklik for sharing this vart with me. He told it to me last year when I took my kids for an ortho appointment. It was coming up to the 3 weeks, and he told it to me. And tonight I emailed him remembering, and I'm like, I remembered this, and I wanted to add it after everything else I prepared. I said, class is in 1 hour. I said, you once told me something about the Nine Midos HaRachamim, the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, and Yud Shiva Sarba Tamas and Tisha B'Av. I said, if you remember what I'm talking about, could you please quickly email me back? Baruch Hashem, he did. I added this in at the, what's it called, the ninth hour? Get it, pun intended, ninth hour, Nine Midos HaRachamim. If you could write it down, it's going to be much more helpful. I could pass these out, but you need to give it back to me, because we're not going to get to this today, we're going to get to next time. If you need a piece of paper to write down what I'm saying, no. You don't want a piece of paper. Okay, fine. Just listen. We're talking about which midah of rachamim? Hashem. No, not Erech Apayim. We spoke about Erech Apayim a little bit, but what are we mainly talking about? Double lashon av Hashem. Write down on your paper, make a dash in between. Yud, then hey, then vav, then hey. That's the Shem Hashem that we're speaking about. God's attribute of mercy. We're talking about this name of God. It has a yud, then a hey, then a vav, then a hey. That's Shem Hashem. The letters that immediately precede, now on top or underneath, exactly, under the yud or on top of the yud, write tes. Tes precedes yud. Under the hey or above the hey, write dalid. This is Rav Goldwicht quoting the Arizal. So this isn't like some heebie-jeebie thing that some new age person came up with, okay? The letters that precede the yud, the hey, the vav, the hey are tes. Tes comes before yud. Dalid comes before hey. Vav, what comes before vav? Hey. And what comes before the final hey? Dalid. So one column should say yud, then hey, then vav, then hey. And the other column should say da tes, dalid, hey, dalid. You need to see it to get it. Even when he emailed it to me, I even had to write it down for myself. We're talking about Shem Hashem, Yud, then Hey, then Vav, then Hey. The letters that it come, what comes before Yud? Tes. What comes before Hey? Dalid. What comes before Vav? Hey. What comes before Hey? Dalid. You could, yes? Okay. Here we go. Tes plus Dalid the first two in that set equal 13. That's why I said you got to write this down. How are we going to do this on Wayu Torah? I should put a little chart and attach it as a source sheet. Maybe it's not such a bad idea. Hey, you have to really visualize it to see it. Then hey and Dalid is 9. I wish I had a blackboard, but I don't. So you're making your own. Yod, then hey, then vav, then hey. This is the Midah of Rachamim we're speaking about. The letters that Arizal teaches in the name of Rav Goldrich, in the name of Rabbi Dr. Andrew Stiklik, that immediately precede Shem Hashem Rachamim. And keep in mind, we need double. We're not like the people after Chet Egel. We're so bad, we're like the people after Chet Egel. We need like Chet Meraglim. Oh my gosh. We're not like after Chet Meraglim. They only needed one Hashem. We're after Chet Egel on Yom Kippur. We need two Hashems. The letters that immediately precede these, the Hebrew letter before Yud is Tes. Before Hey is Dalet. Before Vav is Hey. Before Hey is Dalet. Tes plus Dalet is 13. Hey plus Dalet is 9. Are you up to there with me so far?
Yes.
Good. It's not an accident that here we have extrapolating from Shem Hashem the 13 and the 9. Well, what are we talking about tonight? 13 midos of rachamim, 13 attributes of mercy, and 9 attributes of mercy. After Chet HaEgel, which was on the 17th of Tammuz, which we're coming up to, Moshe invoked 13 midos of rachamim. That's Pasha clear. Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim after Chet HaEgel. We've been saying that the whole night. That was on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. Soon we're going to fast. After Chet HaMeraglim, Moshe invoked how many?
9
Midos of Rachamim. Tisha B'Av is on which day? 9th Av. On the 9th of Av, he invoked 9 Midos of Rachamim. On the 17th of Tammuz, he invoked, post-17 Tammuz, he invoked 13 Midos of Rachamim, post-Tisha B'Av. First Tisha B'Av was when? Right here. 14:1. Oh, you're finished. What are you crying for? You're going to cry for generations and be a skull tzedek. You're going to cry and cry and cry. I'm going to destroy you. Moshe is not so fast. Tes midos rachamim. Interestingly, furthermore, the Arizal teaches the 3 weeks, the famous 3 weeks, that fall from Shiva Asar B'Tammuz to Tisha B'Av, the 3 weeks where we commemorate both of these sins. Shiva Asar B'Tammuz commemorates Chet HaEgel. Tisha B'Av commemorates Chet HaMeraglim. Are divided as follows. From 17th Tammuz through Av, there are 13 days. Don't lose me. Don't lose me. I have to stand up. After Chet HaEgel, Moshe invokes 13 Midos of Rachamim. After Chet HaMeraglim, he invokes
9
Midos of Rachamim. From the 3 weeks are sandwiched between Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, which was Chet HaEgel, Tisha B'Av, which was Chet HaMeraglim. The 3 weeks are divided according to the Midos of Rachamim that Moshe invoked. The days of Tammuz in the 3 weeks are 13. From 17 Tammuz to the end of Tammuz is 13 days. One Midah of Rachamim for each day of Tammuz, because we need compassion on those 13 days to rectify the sin. And how many days are there of, in which we mourn? 9 days of Av. How many Midahs of Rachamim does Moshe invoke post Chet HaMeraglim? 9. So it's almost as if you have one Midah of Rachamim per day of the 3 weeks. So every day, so you brought up before. Wait, is it clear?
Okay.
At the end, yes, you're not yawning. Okay, so that's the Arizal. So we understand, it's interesting because you spoke about in Shema Yisrael Shem Elkeinu Shem Echad, the Midah of Din, justice, being ensconced by Rachamim. So you see that even in these days, Hayom Hamar V'Hanimhar, the day of Tisha B'Av is saturated with bitterness, and it begins on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz when we broke the luchos because of Chet HaEgel, and it ends on Tisha B'Av when we cried for no reason, and we're not going into Eretz Yisrael. 13 Midos of Rachamim, 9 Midos of Rachamim, 13 days of Tammuz, 9 days of Av, one attribute of mercy for every day of Din. Now, let's answer, that's on Shem Hashem. Let's answer, in our last minutes of tonight's shiur, why we need two attributes of mercy sometimes. What's the kodem sheyachta? You with me? Remember the question? Okay. Rav David Holzer teaches. Rav David Holzer was the shamish of the Rav, and he put together a compilation of many of Rav Salvechik's svarim verbatim. They're called the Rav Thinking Aloud, and sometimes, and he tells you when it's his own insight, Rav Holzer includes his own insights. He also says at one point that if he includes an insight, he checked it with Rav Salvechik. He said he could be sure I did not include the insights that the Rav did not approve of. Rav David Holzer teaches, when the Yud Gimel Midos are Rachamim, should I stand up so everyone could see? Are you okay?
No, they want you to stand up.
Want me to stand up? Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're saying yeah. I just want everyone to see because I feel like I know I could hear better when I see. Okay. You should never need to see to hear. When the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim are revealed to Moshe after Chet HaEgel, the golden calf, the name of Hashem is repeated twice. We already spoke about that. Rashi explains. What does Rashi explain? Achas Kodem Sheyachta. One before sin. And one time you need mercy for? You finish sinning, you're on your way to repentance. Good. However, by the Meraglim, which is this week's parasha, which is clearly connected to Chet HaEgel in so many ways, as we've demonstrated in tonight's year, the timeline, the time period of the year, the tefillos, the ratzon to destroy the whole people, salachti kivarecha. However, after, in Shlach, after Meraglim, there's only one Hashem. Why? The Bnei Yisrael already sinned, so they don't need which one? Kodem Sheyachta. There's no Kodem Sheyachta. The problem is, says Rav Holzer, when you look at Chet HaEgel, the sin of the golden calf, neither Hashem seems to fit the bill. What do you mean? Oh no, I'm sorry. Scratch what I just said. Going back to Chet HaMeraglim, because I can't see as well when I'm standing on my paper. However, by the... Oh! Geschmack, I need that. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, much better. Yes, thank you. I could have gotten it myself. I didn't know it was there. Okay, ready? Thank you. Excellent. Thank you very much. Okay, so now we have a problem. The problem is by the Meraglim, there's only one name of Hashem. Just like scratch the last sentence. By the Meraglim, which one was it, says Rav Holzer. According to Rav Holzer, neither before sin applies, because it's not before sin, but Rav Holzer says it's not after either. Why not? Am Yisrael already committed the sin, rebelling against Hashem. It's clearly not Kodem Sheyachta, but they're in the middle of sinning, and we haven't seen them done to Shuva yet, so we're not really... Achar Sheyachta V'yashuv either. In fact, in Parsha Shlach, I will tell you something. It seems that they do teshuvah when they really don't. Because what do they say? One second. Do they do teshuvah yet? The answer is no. Although it seems that there is one time when they do teshuvah. Vayishkimu b'boker, they wake up early in the morning. Vayalu al rosh ahar, they go to the top of the mountain saying, Hinenu va'alinu al ha'makom asher amar Hashem kichatanu. We're going up to the place where God said, because we sinned. Except that I saw this brought down, I don't remember which sefer, but could be per paros the Torah. Punctuate that sentence differently. We're going to go up to the place asher amar Hashem kichatanu. How could you translate that? We're going up because God said we sinned, not because we feel we sinned. You know, I apologize if I insulted you is a lot different than I'm sorry for what I said. They're saying, oh, we're going to go up because God said we sinned, not because there's any inherent realization that they are sinners. So according to Rav Holzer, that's Perek Yadav Pasuk Mem. So according to Rav Holzer, they're not, by Chet HaMeraglim, in our Parsha, Kodem Sheyachta. Clearly it's not Kodem, but they're also not Achar Sheyachta V'yashuv. It's also not after the sin. Which Hashem is it by Meraglim? Is it Kodem Sheyachta? It doesn't seem to be Kodem Sheyachta. Is it Achar Sheyachta V'yashuv? It doesn't seem to be after they sin. So which Hashem is it?
You're still in the sin.
Oh. So go ahead. What are you saying?
I'm asking as a question.
Okay, so hold your question and listen. Which Hashem is being invoked? And this is something I talk about. You know, it's crazy. My Eloshir, the youngest of Wittenberg, is already booked. You know, Chodesh Tamashir is this Sunday. I speak on the youngest of Wittenberg on Tisha B'Av, by the way. Shortly after Chatzos, for the past few years, it's hard for me to say Be'ezra Sashem about Tisha B'Av. But if we have Yom Hamar V'Hanimhar, and we shall all be well, then I will be speaking at youngest of Wittenberg shortly after Chatzos. And then, in the middle of discussing dates, Rav Schechter said, okay, and how about August 12th for Eloh? And I was like, so jolted. I said to my Darte, I'm booking my Eloh Shir. And this is something I talk about in Eloh. And I always say that the first step into Shuva is self-awareness. Not Aziva Sachei, leaving the sin. Not Charata Al Ha'avar, regret. Not Kabbalah Al Ha'asid. Not Vidui. Self-awareness. Rav Holzer says, when you know you sinned, i.e., you're self-aware to know you made a mistake. So then you need the normal process of teshuva. But the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim are when the normal teshuva process does not suffice and you need more divine assistance. What do we mean? After the sin, called the Achar Sheyachta V'Yashuv, you did teshuva, you want to go beyond teshuva, you want to reestablish your connection with Ribbono Shel Olam. That's all of us on Yom Kippur. I sin, but please take me back. There's no obligation for Hashem to take you back. You sin. The Chumash does not say, Lo Seideich Rechil Bamecha, parentheses, if you do teshuva, after you speak Lashon Hara, I'll take you back. It does not say, don't do erva, and if you do erva, I'll take you back. It says, don't do it, period. There's no obligation for God to take you back. Achar Sheyachta V'Yashuv, after you sin and you want to do repentance, why do you need mercy? Because according to the letter of the law, does Hashem need to take you back?
No.
You're a sinner. You're finished. Moshe was given the secret of the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim so that Hashem could once again dwell in our midst post-stin. But there's a stats achar sheyachta v'yashuv. We understand why you need mercy. You need mercy because you didn't follow the rules and you want God to take you back. It's like the child who says, one more chance, one more chance, one more chance, one more chance. But there's a second situation where we need divine assistance. And that's kodem sheyachta. And that's really what we're trying to identify here. And we're trying to understand which Hashem was by chet hamaragim. Was it achar sheyachta v'yashuv? Not really, they haven't done teshuva. How can we say it was kodem sheyachta? The term kodem in Chazal doesn't always mean before, as in before you sin. It also means you're on the verge of doing something. Right then, you're about to do something. Kodem doesn't have to mean I'm 3 months away from the action. It could mean I'm 1 moment away from the action. The Bnei Yisrael, after they buy into the words of the Meraglim, are in a perpetual state of rebellion. They're in a cycle of sin. They're in a state of mass hysteria. They're screaming about how Eretz Yisrael is so bad and we can't go there. And therefore, they're in a state of kodem sheyachta at every second. Do you understand what this means? He's going to explain it more. It means you're in a perpetual state of sin. It means there's zero self-awareness about what you're doing. You keep doing the same thing over and over. Abal lashon hara. A perpetual Lashon Hara speaker. Is it constantly in a state of kodem sheyachta? He's always about to sin again. You're locked in the cycle of sin and rebellion. It's a constant kodem sheyachta. Many people, says Rav Holzer, are in this position. Man is so caught up with himself, so sure his way is correct, and all the other ways are wrong. He's unable to be self-critical. Teshuva cannot help him in such a situation because he does not even know he needs teshuva. He's constantly locked in a cycle of kodem sheyachta. The complexity of Torah creates challenges. Which path shall we follow? So for Shabbos, it's clear-cut. For Kashrut, it's clear-cut. But hashkafic paths in life, how we relate to other people, how we select proper teachers and rabbanim, balancing Torah and livelihood. Sometimes we can only hope we're making the right decisions. Quote, I may be on the wrong path and not even know it. I may be in a chronic situation of kodem sheyachta. I'm about to do the sin over and over because I'm afflicted with a philosophy that reinforces the sin I did in the past. The only thing that can get you out of such a cycle is midas harachamim kodem sheyachta. At that point, when you're on the brink and you have no self-awareness even that you're doing anything wrong, the only thing that can save you is divine mercy. When one recognizes he sins, he knows he needs to do teshuva. He doesn't need God to tell him when you know you're wrong. But listen to this line. I'm talking to myself. When you look in the mirror and you like yourself and you see fault in everyone else, you can never get out of your situation. And no teshuva can be invoked without midas harachmim. And that was the meraglim. Everything else was at fault. Eretz Yisrael was at fault. The fruits were at fault. The giants were at fault. Moshe was at fault for sending them. They were perfect. And there was a fault external to them. And they transmitted this philosophy of kodem sheyachta, the inability to see the need for repentance. Because you don't even know you're about to sin again. When you look in the mirror and you like yourself and you see fault in everyone else, you're locked in a perpetual cycle of kodem sheyachta. Only Hashem's intervention can get us back on track, help us open our eyes, reevaluate what is important in life. The Bnei Yisrael, after hearing the miraglim, couldn't believe that they were wrong. I'm finishing up. They persisted. We should return to Egypt. Everything Moshe, Kalev, and Yoshua told them to convince them otherwise could not convince them. Their hashkaf, do you hear what I'm saying? My hashkaf is right. And if I'm right, you're wrong. Because it can't be that we're both right. There's no room for dual hashkafa. I'm right. Maybe I'm kodem sheyachta. Maybe you're right. Maybe we're both right of Reuven 13b. And that's a sabaska, the arma, elu veelu divre elokim chaimema. Maybe we're both right. But I'm such locked in a hashkafic pattern of sin. I am chronically, constantly, perpetually kodem sheyachta. And the only thing that can save me in such a matzav, when I have no sense of self-awareness anymore, is midas harachamim. Therefore, says Rav Holzer, which Hashem, and now we come to the end of our shiur, which Hashem is Moshe invoking post chayde egel, that's when the first midas harachamim are first introduced to us. Moshe brings us all 13. Post miraglim, which is he invoking? Kodem, meaning only divine mercy can get me out of my cycle of corruptness and help me realize my sin, to reawaken the people and to make us aware of the fact that we need to do teshuvah. And Moshe's tefillah saved us. And we can't forget the insight that we said in the beginning. Our tefillos did not save him. And for those times when we find ourselves in trouble, and for the times when you're not sure, Hashem, I don't even know if I'm on the right path. I don't even know what I'm doing. I don't even know if this is the right decision. Maybe I'm kodem. It's at that moment that you pour out your heart like water. Only you, Hashem, can save me. Yes?
I understand.
Talk louder.
If they invoke this mita, why were they all killed?
If
the miraglim invoked this mita, if this mita...
No, the miraglim didn't invoke it. Moshe did.
If Moshe invoked the mita... Before,
the Midah before.
The Kodem.
Oh, wait a second. He doesn't daven before they sin. He davens after they sin.
But you just were talking about this cycle. The
Hishkafic idea of what does Kodem Sheyachta mean? Why did Hashem kill them all in the desert? That was the condition. Hashem wanted to destroy the whole nation, just like he did after Egel. Both times, Moshe got God to save the people, that generation. Why did they all die? They got what they wanted. We don't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. Hashem says, no problem. I quoted before. You don't want to go in, so you won't go in. That was the worst punishment. They got what they wanted. Anything else? Okay. Be'ezos Hashem, we should always be zochet to have whatever din there is ensconced by rachamim, and ultimately not have any din at all, and only rachamim. Thank you, ladies.
Amen.
Have a wonderful week.